Jewelry isn't a gift you give just once. It's a way to remind your loved one of a beautiful moment every time they see it. Blue Nile can help you find the gift that says how you feel and says it beautifully, with expert guidance and a wide assortment of jewelry of the highest quality at the best price. Go to BlueNile.com and experience the convenience of shopping Blue Nile, the original online jeweler since 1999. That's BlueNile.com to find the perfect jewelry gift for any occasion. BlueNile.com.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to What Culture Gaming. I'm Scott, joined by Josh.
Hello, Scott.
Josh's friend over on Big Ol' Bloomberg, they were talking to Sony Chief Financial Officer Hiroki Totoki, who shined a bit of a light on the, I guess, the reality of the availability of the PS5 for the rest of 2021. Now, this has been doing the rounds on a few different news sites, obviously for the last sort of few months. It's been really hard to actually nail down both the PS5 and the Series X. But in regards to where Sony are, some comments from Totoki said that I don't think demand is calming down this year, and even if we secure a lot more devices and produce many more units of the PS5 next year, our supply won't be able to catch up with demand. He said, we have sold more than 100 million units of the PlayStation 4, and considering our market share and reputation, I can't imagine demand dropping easily. So the sort of thing to really take away here is that, you know, the actual figures for PS4 sales, according to Digital Trends, are 115.9 million.
Wow.
And right now, the PS5 has sold around about 7.8 million units as of the end of March. So that's a pretty staggering 108 million people looking to upgrade, which is a pretty sizable thing. How's that hit you? I guess it's pretty obvious at this point, but it does seem like the current climate of it just being hard to get a new system is just going to be the case for the rest of the year.
Yeah, it's a bit of a bitter pill to swallow in a way, because, you know, naively, when the PS5 was launching last year, I thought by June, by July, by August, it'll have sorted itself out at least a little bit and people would have more access to this next-gen machine. Obviously, that's not going to be the case, and it definitely does seem to be this awful, well, not awful, not if you're Sony really, but this awful combination of, you know, increased demand in general from people who owned a PlayStation 4, and then a supply issues, you know, around the globe and actually producing them, and knowing that it's going to go into 2022 does suck a little bit, because, you know, there are so many people who just kind of like want a PlayStation 5, want to support Sony, have been saving perhaps since last year, you know, hoping to get it last November or whatever, and just literally can't. And, you know, I'm in this boat for Xbox, funnily enough, and it's frustrating not to be able to get the thing you want, but also not only like not being able to support the thing you want to support, and, you know, obviously have these experiences. So yeah, not unforeseen, but still sucks.
Yeah, the thing that's really interesting is, like, you look at, because I was looking at Resident Evil 8 comparisons, because it's like, if you're stuck with the PS4 for now, like, are you really truly missing out? I guess actually that's the thing that I was going to ask you. Do you think right now the PS5 is this like must-have thing for right now in time? Because I don't necessarily think it is. I don't think we've had, like, I mean, Returnal's brilliant. Demon's Souls is like solid enough. You know, you can play a fancier version of Miles Morales or something. But like, it's not this run out, I must get it thing. It's more just like you want to get it because it's the PlayStation 5. It's this more sort of assumption of this essential item. But the reality of owning it, for the most part, you know, we've been playing up-resed PS4 games. It wasn't until Returnal came out that you played something that was made for the PS5. And even that hasn't necessarily blown everybody away, even though it is an incredibly solid game. Like, where do you come down on the whole, like, do you need a PS5 right now type thing?
I don't think you definitely don't need one. There aren't the experiences there, I don't think, or at least not even the roadmap there to kind of, you know, justify having to go through all of these hoops. You know, if it was instantly available, I'm not going to tell people what to do or what not to do with their money. You know, if the PlayStation 5 was easily accessible and, you know, people wanted it, of course, I would be like, yeah, buy it, because I do think it's a solid system. But, you know, the people who haven't got it yet aren't necessarily missing out too much in terms of experiences that are there. You know, I love Demon's Souls. I love Returnal. But at the same time, Like, you know, there's not going to be anything until Ratchet and Clank, and then the likes of Horizon Forbidden West are going to be cross-generation, and then the games that we're playing right now, like Resident Evil 8, you can already experience those on the PlayStation 4, the PlayStation 4 Pro. And I think Sony's kind of acknowledged that, and that's why they are kind of like leaning on this cross-gen thing. It's why they haven't committed too much as to what's coming to the PlayStation 5 at the end of the year or outside of this year, you know, exclusively to the PlayStation 5. And I think they're kind of acknowledging that. So right now, I don't think, you know, it's easy to say when I have it, but I don't think it's something that, you know, you're missing out on massively in terms of games.
Yeah, I think you can wait. I think also they're sort of low-key planning 2022 to be this like insane thing. Like they won't say anything about God of War, and the only 2021 date for that was the initial reveal that it was coming at all. Everything else seems to be pointing to a 2022 release. And also, you know, that gives them more time for those numbers to equate, like get more PS4 people coming across to PS5, have the install base be there for the likes of something like God of War or whatever they want to do going forward, like Hideo Kojima's next game or something like that. I did sort of notice, like looking, like I mentioned Resident Evil 8, because looking at the comparisons to that on PS4, that kind of reminds me of, you know, the whole, the general sort of conversation around, you know, developers will do some of their best work at the end of a console cycle, and all of a sudden they're the most used to that technology, they've been with it for a few years, everything resets and they have to relearn everything all over again, but it is often why you get the likes of like The Last of Us or something that is genuinely technically super impressive, because it came right at the end of the generation. And you know, you look at something like Resident Evil 8, and even that base version on PS4 is like still super impressive. Like the only real change to the PS5 overall is, you know, frame rate and, you know, like different detail in the background or something like that. Like it's still a totally serviceable, solid version of that game on PS4. And first party studios are going to handle things differently. But point being, if you can't get a PS5 and you're looking at these potentially new shiny versions of games that are on PS5, you're not really missing out that much. Like the core experience is right there. Like it's just going to be like, it's going to be something, a specific game that comes out that makes people go, oh my God, I have to play that. But even Horizon is coming out on PS4 anyway. So it's like, I think for the most part, as much as I've said, like, and I am still like, oh my God, I want to see what this new system can do. There is part of me just on the tech side that is just genuinely impressed with making the PS4 versions like up there anyway. Like something like Resident Evil 8 is still just so impressive and still, you know, caters that 100-odd million people that are stuck with the PS4 anyway.
Totally. And I mean, it kind of reminds me of, you know, back in the last gen when Metal Gear Solid 5 The Phantom Pain came out. And the Fox Engine was so good that that thing, you know, looked really stunning, performed really well on like the older gen consoles as well as the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One and stuff. And I think the RE engine in particular, and I'm saying this having only watched comparisons and not actually played the PlayStation 4 version, so that's a huge caveat, but from what it appears to be, the RE engine seems to be sort of equally as solid, and it's doing a good job at, you know, not necessarily keeping up with the next gen consoles, but giving us a decent version of the game on last gen consoles. We're not in like a position where, I remember last gen when we got one of the Call of Duties, it might have been Black Ops 3, where it was literally just the multiplayer that came out on the last-gen version of the game. And, you know, you get these huge discrepancies between titles. And we haven't got that yet so far, but I wonder whether going into the end of this year, we start to see these massive, massive gulfs between the last gen versions of games and the current gen versions of games.
Well, I guess I would assume that that gulf between the different gens will become more obvious, prominent going forward. But at the minute, it reminds me of like when the PS4 Pro came out, and like, you know, it was just sort of, if you really put them side by side and really squint, you can notice one thing, you know, is different to the other. Like I saw the Lady Dimitrescu in RE8 on PS5 has ray tracing in her eyes. So if you zoom in on her eyes, you can see it's got ray tracing, but most of the reflections in that game aren't ray traced. Like, you know, Ethan doesn't have a reflection in some cabinets and stuff like that. So it's not like you're looking at screenshots and been able to discern like an immediate thing. Even base graphical comparisons, at least to me, look super similar. And that as a potential indication of how third-party stuff might look between generations, providing the tech is solid enough, the engines are solid, then, like I said, again, you're not necessarily missing out too much. I did run down a list of stuff that's coming for the rest of this year. In terms of PS5 exclusives, there's obviously Ratchet & Clank. There's the Final Fantasy VII Integrate DLC, which is only on PS5. Only until December. That's now a timed exclusive. December 10th. It's going to be going to Xbox as well. And there's Deathloop as well. And there's Ghostwire Tokyo is kind of just up in the air, but assumedly that's been delayed. But other than that, you know, you've got Horizon, Kena Bridge of Spirits. They're both cross-gen, so they'll be on PS4 anyway. And then I ran down stuff that would be coming in 2022, when assumedly the industry will be in a healthier position, the world will be in a healthier position. Because 2022 stuff is God of War, assumedly, if it doesn't come at the end of this year. Forspoken, Square Enix's new IP, the new RPG, Gran Turismo 007, Lord of the Rings Gollum, Gotham Knights, and the Suicide Squad, all of them are 2022, which potentially make more sense for a mainstream audience that actually have the tech to play them. Like, it feels like we'll just get through this year. It'll be, you know, some new stuff, some cross-gen stuff, sort of supply the audience, and then get everybody ready for it. Maybe next year is when the generation kicks off in full.
Yeah, and I think, you know, to an extent, I think that's smart to do because at this point, there are, every time we do a next-gen video, Scott, whether it's covering something like Returnal or even just doing this, like most of the comments are people just frustrated that they haven't got a PlayStation 5 and like they're annoyed that they're even seeing news about it to an extent. I kind of understand that, and I imagine if like you did drop these huge franchises like God of War or Horizon and then said that they were on PlayStation 5, that's already kind of its own conversation, but I think it becomes more frustrating if you literally can't get a PlayStation 5 because then they're selling something that a lot of people literally don't have access to, you know, if they even if they had the cash to do it. I think it, you know, saving some of these games, whether that was an idea that they had or whether it was just a reality of, you know, the current situation where working in and the development issues that are currently going on from working from home and stuff, I think it will kind of avoid those perhaps, you know, frustrations and the anger that comes from people, you know, looking at this stuff that's been advertised but having to face the reality that there are no PlayStation 5s coming in stock. There are scalpers, you know, picking up thousands of them at a time and they can't get it. I think that's an added wrinkle to this gen that I don't think we've had to this extent in previous generations. You know, we've always had a certain amount of shortages, but not one, at least in PlayStation terms, that feels like it's lasted this long.
Yeah, not on the PlayStation side. The nearest would be when the Wii came. I worked the great Wii shortage of like 2008 or whatever year it was, at the end of the 2000s, where you just couldn't get a Wii. And every single day I had people, customers back then asking for the console. It was just impossible to get. But yeah, looking at the stats, like, you know, less than 10% of all PS4 owners have managed to upgrade to a PS5. And the PS5 is outselling the PS4 in terms of the first 5 months on sale, but there's still just so much ground to catch up. And I think, like, it makes business sense to, you know, sort of split the difference. Like, you want to supply people on the PS4 side, but also you want to be able to show off the likes of Deathloop and Returnal. I was going to say And Destruction All-Stars, but I feel like that's not fully up there, but some games that are only on PS5. So far, I think they're splitting it pretty well, and I think looking at the, like, some of the third-party stuff, it seems like those are totally awesome playable versions on PS4. I do remain super curious where we go from here, but I think it's just a frank reality of where we're at, that we're just going to have to wait like another year or so to see what happens in 2022. But let us know what you think down in the comments below. Have you been able to pick up a PS5, and what have you thought of the games that have been released exclusively for that system so far? For now, I've been Scott from WhatCulture.com.
I've been Josh from WhatCulture.com.
And we'll catch you next time.
Bye.
Imagine the softest sheets you've ever felt. Now imagine them getting even softer over time. That's what you'll feel with Boll & Branch's organic cotton sheets. In a recent customer survey, 96% replied that Boll & Branch sheets get softer with every wash. Start getting your best night's sleep in these sheets that get softer and softer for years to come. Try their sheets with a 30-night guarantee. Plus, get 15% off your first order at bollandbranch.com. Code BUTTERY. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. WarbyParker.com/covered.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.